Welcome to SAS Open Mic. I'm Annie Musgrove. Where is the tipping point in your career that causes you to take your set of skills, accumulated over years and from different positions, and to pour them into starting a new company, your own company? This week, Ed spoke to Sharon Savariego, co-founder and CEO of Mobilize. Looking back at Sharon's experience, she's been nurturing communication in communities, groups, and movements throughout her career. So it seems natural that the product she built, Mobilize, is to solve communication problems in these contexts. To her, however, this wasn't a conscious or carefully considered path toward her current position. It's more just a culmination of work that only seems to follow a narrative now, to all fit together now looking back over the years. Well, this conversation with Ed goes deep on the pricing strategy for Mobilize. Sharon and her team have a very clear vision of how their subscription pricing should be structured. Each plan targets a specific company profile, and each company profile is detailed with a very clear understanding of those needs. So stay with us for a ton of great advice on pricing, some talk about the future of communication in businesses, and much more. Now, here's Ed talking to Sharon Savariego.
Great. So Sharon, thanks so much for joining me here on Skype. And it's really great to chat to you. And I'm really interested to chat a little bit about what you guys are doing at Mobilize. I hear it's pretty interesting over there.
Thank you, Ed. Yeah, it's really great to talk to you guys. And I'm glad to share more about what Mobilize is all about. So I think the best thing that we can kind of start with is why we created Mobilize. We designed it especially to be the first communication platform that helps you communicate and engage with your groups and communities. And the way that we look at it is that the industry, like the communication industry today, has so many tools to communicate with your team internally and has so many tools to communicate with your customers. But if you look at businesses, they actually start engaging more and more with different external groups such as brand ambassadors, developer relations, partners, affiliates, franchisees, on-demand workforce, whatever you call it, like there really is a stronger dependency right now on like external partners. And when it comes to managing them and communicating with them, there are really like no solutions out there. So that's why we built and designed Mobilize. We kind of designed it especially to help those new group managers and partner managers to just leverage that amazing communities that they have.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, obviously communication and the topic of communication is something that a lot of people are tackling, I feel, right now from a lot of very different angles. And one thing I find interesting is that you guys seem to be really tackling this problem, like you said, of not just internal communication within a company, but kind of extending that out to kind of other forms of communication external to the company. Is that right?
Yeah, we focus on that. We focus mainly on that. So we basically say, if you have now a network of developers, right, or external developer, developer relation program, then we can help you organize it, no matter if it's like 1,000 people or 50,000 people. And that's what we do for companies like Salesforce or Looker and Docker, while we're also helping companies like Prezi and Etsy manage their seller network or their brand ambassadors. So that basically we kind of like help each company to just organize and communicate with their external stakeholders.
Mm. Why do you think now is such a big time for communication as a topic to really be disrupted or like revolutionized? Why are so many people trying to tackle this right now? Has it just reached a tipping point, or is there something else there, do you think?
So I think that in general communication, and kind of like if you look at the communication industry today, it really evolved from being like specific tools. So you had like your file sharing app, you had your email, your calendar, those like specific tools. And those companies kind of like took over the market, right? Like Dropbox and Box took over the file sharing. Like it was very specific tools. But today it's really people understand that, like, it's not just about the tools, it's really about the workflow. So when you communicate with your team, then you'll be using Slack or HipChat and all of that, because they integrate into your entire workflow. You can see like everything else that happens in your company, and that's why you will want to use it. Same way with, let's say, Intercom and customers, then you know that like they give you all the tools from A to Z to communicate with your customers. And I think that this is why like the best communication solutions today are focusing about like helping you manage the entire workflow. And that's exactly what we do at Mobilize. We say, well, when you communicate with your partners, when you manage those partners, then you need to have the entire workflow. You need to recruit the right partners. You need to train them. You need to communicate and coordinate them to take the right actions. Then you need to make sure that you are like basically measuring everything. And maybe you want to also create some social groups for them. So having this ability to just see everything in one place, I think that that's basically the revolution in the communication industry, is just knowing that this is my professional tool. This is where I do everything from A to Z.
Mm. And so it sounds like a wonderful vision, and that's definitely a place that I want to live in. It like everything seems to get better in a world like that. Is there a space for email in this world that you're building? Or I mean, it's obviously a bit of an elephant in the room that email is still like by far the biggest form of communication between companies and within companies. Does that fit into like your solution, or do you think email's had its time?
Yeah, so I think that email is great if you manage it correctly. So the way that we approach it is we basically design Mobilize to help you communicate with an external network of people, right? Those partners, developer relation, brand ambassadors, product beta testers, whatever they are, they're not part of your team. So they won't necessarily want to log in to your platform of choice, right? They want to stay wherever they are, on their mobile phones, like over email, SMS. And you as a manager just need to basically figure out how do you keep controlling the message and communicating in a seamless way and not risking your participation rates, because you want all of them to reply. You want all of them to see your message. So knowing that that's something that's like the unique dynamic of communicating with external communities, we design Mobilize. So you basically have like a communication center and you have everything you need. You have emails, you have polls, files, SMS, events, everything you need in one place, but the message gets to people wherever they are. So if you now say, I have a really important announcement to all of my developers about a new version, a new release that might break the old version, then I want to make sure that they all see it in their emails, and I won't take the risk of just announcing it in my internal platform, right? I need to make sure that they are seeing that. If I'm now sending a message to all of my Uber drivers in San Francisco, telling them about like a peak time or something like that, I want to make sure they all get it. I won't ask them to log into a platform. I would just send them an SMS, a text message. So with that idea and with that kind of like understanding of the unique dynamic of communicating with external stakeholders, we designed the platform to just enable that. So I truly believe in like email and text messages and just letting people stay wherever they are and making it easy for them to engage and participate, right? Each one has its own preferences. So why not like stick to that? That's something that is very important when working with external people. I think eventually email will kind of evolve to be a place when you mainly see notifications. So if you kind of imagine your inbox, you probably have emails that are internal, emails that are with your vendors, emails that are with your external community, and with customers. So if you take that, then each part, or maybe candidates that you're recruiting, so you will slowly see like parts of it just being drawn into internal platforms, and then the emails that you will get will only be notifications about stuff that are maybe happening inside that platform, so in order to draw you into it, and I think that helps you kind of like manage your stream of emails, but overall the way that we look at it is wherever people are, we want to be able to communicate with them. So the most important thing is to get them to take action.
Okay.
It's not, okay, let's let them reside in our platform.
So it really sounds like you guys are building a kind of agnostic layer on top of all of these different forms of communication that actually means that it doesn't matter what you send through. It's more about just making sure people receive the message in the right way. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. This is kind of like our promise for our customers. Like whatever like community you need to mobilize, we will help you get them to participate.
That's cool. I took a quick look at your background, and one thing that seemed fairly clear to me is that this is something you've been building up to throughout your career, and you've kind of positioned yourself pretty well to build Mobilize today based on the kind of roles and the things that you've done in your past and the businesses that you've been involved with. I was wondering if you could just describe quickly kind of the lead up to starting Mobilize and your kind of experience in the industry that's led you to build that.
Sure. Thank you. So I think it's all about the journey, and it's not that I've been planning like get into a place when I say, okay, in order to build Mobilize, I need to know X, Y, Z. I think it was basically just being receptive to what I see in the industry. So I actually always been doing two things. I was very involved in tech since I'm really, really young, and always been building different websites or initiatives, et cetera. I was part of like some really major tech companies. And that helped me to see just the different technologies that are out there, the different software that are being used for communication and relationship management. But then in the meantime, I was also very involved with diplomacy, human rights. And actually, I was very, very, very active and very passionate about organizing huge communities and groups of people to take action in different human rights topics. So what I've seen is that when I'm doing my tech kind of job, I have all the tools I need to be very, very efficient. But when I was organizing 150 students to go to the UN to protest for human rights, I was like lost and had like spreadsheets and Google Groups and all those kind of clunky tools that you can imagine. Seeing that, I kind of like said, well, if we kind of at that time Yammer was really big, so I was like, oh well, if we tweak Yammer a bit to be external facing, maybe that will help. And the same thing, I was like looking at Salesforce, and I was like, well, if Salesforce just had a member directory that is easy to update, like that enables my team, like my community, to also insert information, that might be really useful. So it was really kind of like tweaking the tools that I was using and trying to think about like something new. So I had that idea. It was mainly for like, let's build something to help volunteer managers and activists like to organize their communities. But then I joined a tech company that is basically all about crowdsourcing. Their name is Applause, and they had like a community of 150,000 QA testers around the world. And it was amazing what they could do with that. It was really just the beginning of on demand. They were not even calling it on demand. We were calling it crowdsourcing at that time. And I was like thinking about it, and I was like, how are they managing those 150,000 people? And going back to my best practices of managing volunteers, I saw a lot of commonalities. So then I kind of started thinking about, okay, maybe businesses need that too, because like they also need to organize external communities. And eventually I arrived here to San Francisco, and I just saw it like the on-demand industry is booming, and the open source communities, right? All the developer relations is booming. And I just saw that now companies are more open than ever to relying on external partners. And that's not like an obvious thing, right? We used to rely only on our team and just to sell to our customers. That these were like only the main stakeholders that we had. But all of a sudden, seeing that companies are now open to rely on massive networks of people really reminded me what I've seen in volunteer management. And then I also seen that kind of like people like me that were like organizers are now becoming those community managers. So for example, most of the community managers, like the host community managers at Airbnb, used to be political campaign organizers for Obama. So see that. You kind of like see, okay, well, it's the same way that journalists became inbound marketers. Now volunteer managers are becoming community organizers for those top companies. And companies need that more than ever. So now it's about time to build them a tool. So it really all led up to like the what we're doing right now. And that's why also we're very sensitive when we design the platform, because we know how delicate those relationships are. So we really help to design that, like just to match the expectations and the relationships that you need to build with those external stakeholders.
That's really interesting. Do you remember the point when you had a realization that, okay, we're going to have to build this thing ourselves? This is not something that exists in the market. There's clearly an opportunity. Was there like a specific kind of inflection point that you remember where you made that choice? Or was it really like a culmination of everything over time building up and your experience in these other industries that kind of naturally just led to that?
So I have like mixed answers about it, because I will tell you why. Because like for a long time, I thought that this is just an evolution, right? Mm. I was like, you know what? Like one idea leads to another. You talk with potential customers. We were very rigid about like lean startup methodology. My co-founder, which is our CTO, he's like all about like lean startup. So before he wanted to write one line of code, we went and interviewed like 50 different organizations and companies to understand their needs and the tools that they're using. So yeah, it was intensive. And we continue doing that until today, by the way. We work really closely with our customers, understanding their needs and their product requests and their use cases, because they're kind of like market leaders. So we want to make sure that we're designing this with them, because it's such a new industry. But to kind of like to your question, it was an evolution in terms of like, we had an initial idea, we talked with customers, we tweaked it, we talked with customers more, we pivoted a bit, like we kind of like always are evolving. And I think that there is no like single point when you say, that's exactly the platform I need to build, and that's it. That's exactly what you're building. Like usually it's really an evolution. You realize like different things along the road. And then eventually it becomes what it is. And also it's not just one idea. It's not just the founder idea. Like if you build it right and you have a strong team, then it becomes a collective vision. And I believe that that's kind of like what it is right now. It's like a collective vision between our team members and our customers. But I would say that sometimes like I open sketches that I had like 2 years ago and I'm like, that's so different. or I kind of open like the feature request or list of ideas that I had and like see that like 90% of them are still relevant or were already implemented. So I think it's really all about like listening to your customers and to your team and innovating. But if you have a strong vision, then you shouldn't be kind of like shying away from it. You should just like believe in it and just continue validating it.
Mm. Yeah, that's great advice. I also have a folder of old like wireframes that I've created over time. And it's kind of fun to go back and look through all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, I actually did something, right?
Yeah. Cool. I'd love to like to switch topic a little bit and talk about pricing, because I know you guys are doing some interesting things when it comes to pricing. And I guess my first question around that topic would be, like, was it obvious for you from the beginning that this is like a software as a service product, that subscription was the right model for you to choose?
Yeah. So I think that we're all influenced by what we read online. And obviously SaaS is a huge trend as well. So when I was thinking about our pricing, I was very methodological about it. So first of all, it was all about, okay, if our vision is to impact 100 million people, and we believe that like our, like, every group manager around the world should use this for whatever program or group they're managing, how can I sell this to them? How can I provide this service to them? So that's obviously something that you must do as SaaS. Like, we didn't want to have any consultative kind of like services. We said like being a consultant, like in that perspective. Like, we are consulting our customers, but that's part of our service. That's part of our solution. But also the product is already consulting them. The product is basically is the service, right? This is exactly what it is. The product provides you the best practices of being a great network manager, a great group manager. So when we help, it's just like thinking about strategy and sharing best practices, etc. So when you kind of figure out that like your product is actually designed to scale, like to help people scale their groups and like, and whatever I could consult people, like the product is now doing for them, right? And that's kind of my vision is like, instead of helping people organize their groups and think about communication and how should it be done, I build those features for them. So it will like, they can already be better by just using it. So that basically is the meaning of software as a service. So it was obvious, but then thinking about like the subscription concept of it, it was really all about like, how can I just let everyone that needs to use it, use it? And when you think about those things and you think about the verticals that you want to serve or the size of groups or customers that you want to serve, then you realize that, well, I can sell it to like a bunch of customers in like really high prices because we have amazing features and consulting and all of that. But I really, really want to also provide this to like smaller groups. And I wanted to make it accessible for them because I want to have that dent in the universe to make that dent. So when thinking about that, subscription is actually a model that is very affordable in many ways to different type of customers, but also it enables you to scale. So it enables you to kind of say, okay, I'm selling to those smaller groups and maybe even give them a freemium, but I can also have those bigger deals because sometimes there are really big networks that require more basically security features or design or kind of like branded experience or consulting. So that's kind of like was our approach. In terms of just the experiments that we do on pricing, so we kind of have a methodology that we follow time after time, and we already changed our pricing like at least 3 times, which we believe is healthy, is very risky in terms of like just as a business, but it's very healthy in terms of like, how can I really provide value to all of those customers? And do I really listen to everything they have to say and then optimize the pricing for them? So the way that we do it is that we kind of like the first time I've built the pricing and then I repeated it a few more times is basically I've done a list of the verticals and type of groups and customers that I could have. And this was all from like smaller groups. So we have like random groups like and a stargazer community somewhere in the UK. They have an observatory and they need to organize all the stargazers. Obviously, very small community, not a lot of budget, not a great budget. But we want to be able to serve them. There are homeschooling groups that are using Mobilize. But then those are the small groups that we want to serve. But then there are like mid-level type of like accounts. We have the beta program, the beta program, product programs. So those are usually like a few hundreds of people, but they need like sophisticated features. So they won't be on the freemium, but like they should be somewhere in the middle and they can probably pay like up to $500 per month. And then you have like the big networks, like we have the United Nations and Samsung and Microsoft, and like the big ones that really like need the custom environment. They need like the design. They need security. And then you say, okay, well, how do I serve those as well? So once I made a list of all our potential users and potential customers and kind of understanding their budget range, then the next thing I've done is like, what are the main feature that they must have? So I kind of like went like looking at it from their perspective, their budget, and then the features that they must have. And that's kind of like how we created the first bundles. But then to take it to the next level, we then need to understand the competitive landscape. So we need to say, well, you know what? Some people might use text messaging. They might use another platform for it. Some might use, instead of our CRM, they might use another CRM, right? So we have the added value of a CRM that is connected to the communication center. But if they let go of their old CRM, how much are they paying for that CRM? Would they pay the same or more for Mobilize, because we also are connected to the communication center? So I made a list of all the alternative tools that you can be using and how much would you pay for that, right? Mm. So CRM, paper contact, file sharing, your paper like storage, and text messaging would be like a kind of a fee on top of the package that you're buying. And I made a list of like all those alternative tools, how much would they pay for those tools? And then you understand also kind of like their inclination to pay more or less to you. Because obviously we're not just that tool, we're a bundle of 10 other tools as well. So you're getting more value, but are you okay with paying 10 times more, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So that was kind of like the second step. So the first step was really understanding the customers and the different packages and budgets that they have, then understanding the alternative tools and how much do they cost. And then it was kind of like thinking about the momentum. So timing is everything when you think about pricing. And we were thinking about two points that are really critical. One point is the first conversion. It's like, when do you get to a point when you trust the platform enough and you say, now I need something that will cost me money and I'm totally fine with it? So what is that momentum, that conversion point? And the second momentum that we cared about is, when is the time that you start upselling and upgrading more? Right. And we wanted to make those two points, points that are very natural for the customer, because we really want it to be like something that is a win-win for both sides. Like both sides. Yes, I need this. I want this. I'm so happy to pay. And I have some platforms that I'm like happy to pay. I'm like, yes, they're giving me whatever. I need. Like, why not? Like, of course, I want the company to succeed. So that's kind of like the like two moments that we need to hit. And for us, it was like the moment when like people try the platform with more than 100 people, right? So okay. If you manage a group of more than 100 people, we believe that that's a point when like you get to enjoy more like the additional features that we have. So that's a point when you're a professional organizers, it's a business driven group or network. Therefore, it's not just an individual independent group. And that's where like it goes into like the business use case. Another thing is that the momentum about upgrades. So we wanted to make sure that people are paying only for what they are using. So Mobilize is basically was used to be, by the way, a different business model and pricing, but we switched it now to by the volume of contacts that you have. And the reason for that was basically to say, if you start with 200 people right now, then you can grow slowly. And we know that you will grow to 1,000 people by the end of the year, because it's the nature of the community. But you can pay right now for only 200 people. That's totally fine. And on our side, we scale as our customers scale and grow. So that's the win-win of it, is like you grow, we help you grow. Right. And the subscription also grows in a very, by the way, moderate way. We're very careful about that. So that's all about momentum. It's like, what's the momentum for each one of those conversions? I think that's kind of like eventually the way we look at it. And the final point is like, how do you bundle it? So if you need to bundle it by the value proposition.
Yeah.
And our value proposition, we basically said the first package is for independent, out-of-pocket kind of like group managers, right? The ones that don't have a budget. So therefore, it's either premium or very, very cheap. And they can scale as much as they want. For professional organizers, right? For people that are organizing brand ambassadors or developer relations or accelerators, they have a budget. It's something that they do. It's their professional career. So they can pay, and we have a bundle for them and all the professional tools that they need, like API, like custom domain, et cetera. And then we have enterprise level, which is basically like very, very branded, top like customer success support and strategy sessions, API, as well as custom domain, and in the future, like SSO and all those other things. So that's where we bundle all of those.
Yeah, this is really cool. I mean, pricing is such a huge topic in the first place, but I think your strategy to it is really, really interesting. And the one thing the main thing I'm taking away from this is that you make a very deliberate decision around like targeting specific personas with each of your plans. So you know already, like, this plan is for exactly this kind of business, and we know these businesses and we know the features that they need, and therefore we're going to give them X, Y, and Z, and it's going to cost them this much per month.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I'm actually looking at your pricing page right now. It's very beautiful, actually.
Thank you.
How important is, no, actually, let me reword that. Like, how do you know when you need to change your pricing? And I'm assuming you've gone through this a few times. What is the kind of trigger that says, okay, we need to like tweak this a little bit?
Yeah. So first of all, you can get feedback from customers. We actually, before we launch any new pricing, what we do is that we take the list of all of our existing customers. We write down the type of customers that they are, or like network type or company type, et cetera, and how much are they paying today and how much will they pay in the new pricing. So we compare that. Would they pay too much? Would they pay too little after we change the pricing? Then with the ones that we see like big discrepancies, about like, oh my God, well, they should be paying more because they are using the best tier and they have the budget for it. And all of a sudden we see that like the pricing went too down and we're like, okay, something is wrong here. But mainly what happens is like, if we see that customers like would be paying a lot more and we think that that's not correct, then we go and say, okay, how can we fix that for them? So first of all, we do that behind the scenes, but then once you release something, or once you start talking with your customers and asking them about the new pricing, you get very immediate feedback. So salespeople and customer success can give you feedback about like, for example, I just had this call. It's a new program, a new product beta program. They have a budget, but it's not that big. Right. And you get it again and again and again and again. And you're like, well, I want to serve those product beta testers community. But so first of all, we start by giving like discounts and coupon codes just to see if that works better. And if we see that's a consistent thing, then we go and like say, okay, we need to tweak this package or something like that. Another thing is that sometimes you discover that features that are on a higher tier actually could be really awesome on a smaller tier, or features that are on a very small tier, they should actually be on the enterprise level. And you just get by feedback. So you need to be working really, really closely with the salespeople and the customer success to just understand that. And that's kind of like how we work. We just collect a lot of feedback and then we see if we have like small tweaks to do, or should we go and change into our pricing. Hopefully that won't happen again in the next year. So it's a massive project. I think we kind of finally nailed a good business model that will enable our customers to enjoy all the features that they need, and just to onboard quickly and start enjoying the platform fast.
Yeah, cool. This is great stuff. I think this is probably a good point to bring it to a close. I know you've probably got a busy day ahead of you. Just before we go, is there anything like, are you guys hiring? Is there anything you'd like to plug just with regards to Mobilize as a company?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so we are actually, we just grew our team to about 30 people. We're still looking for a growth person and a product manager in San Francisco. So that's kind of like the main thing. But if also there are great developers and engineers, then we're always looking for great people to join our Tel Aviv team. So that's always, we're always happy to see new people and meet new awesome people. In terms of just like if anyone needs help in strategizing how communities and network can help them scale the business, we're very passionate about it. And a lot of times we really just take calls and just help people strategize, even if they don't need a platform right away. It's such a new industry, and we care so much about making sure that this industry succeeds. And we know what the power of networks could mean for a lot of businesses. It's just a cheaper and faster way to scale any business is just to have external networks like brand ambassador, developer relations, et cetera. So we're always happy to talk with people and help them strategize.
Great. Awesome. Well, Sharon, it's been so good. My head is buzzing with all kinds of pricing things, and I feel like I need to go and digest some of this. But I think there's so much in here that's going to be very helpful for our audience and for pretty much all SaaS companies out there. So thanks for taking the time to chat.
Well, thank you, Ed. And I will say at this point also that we're very happy to be using ChartMogul. I think that was one of my first choices as a CEO, as like the tool that I needed. It's just like, I just need to see how all this pricing actually plays out in terms of the final numbers and revenue. So it kind of like really gives me a great control and like, how are we doing, being able to understand everything and just to know if we're progressing well or not. So thank you for building an amazing tool. And that's it.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I may reach out to you for some more specific feedback on that then. But yeah, that's really nice to know. Anyway, I'll pass that on to our team. Thanks.
With pleasure. Yeah. Okay. Have a great rest of the day. Thank you.
Yeah, Ed. You too. Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye.